Glad he did it for me, aren't you? Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Tonight, renewing our purpose, and really a simple message tonight. All my messages are simple anyway. It's just the way it is. This morning, there was so much I wanted to cover and the context of that scripture. And we'll actually touch on it a little more tonight. Renewing our purpose. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Familiar passage to most of us. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 4, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him, and going on from hence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, we would tonight just think about our purpose. And this week we would be about the Father's business of seeing souls saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So many today live their life without a sense of purpose. You know, so many, even in this room, we have a tendency to check our list, don't we? We take the kids to school, we make meals, we clean clothes, we mow the yard, whatever it is. We have a list, and we check the list off of that day, and many times whatever's on that list that didn't get done is pushed to the next day. But we live a life of kind of a checklist type life, and I just want to remind you tonight that life has purpose, and that as a Christian, life has a greater purpose as we think about Jesus Christ and following Him. If we're not careful, we get busy with the daily grind and, again, forget our life's purpose. The average person lives a self-centered life, and all of us can be guilty of that as well. So many people live life to get all they can all they get, and set on the can. But that isn't the purpose of life. Stuff doesn't make you happy. And we find that. We think about Robin Williams. It just amazes me how many of the Hollywood elite who have seemingly all that they could ever have, and yet we see them commit suicide. They're not happy. Happiness or fulfillment doesn't come from stuff. It comes from the Lord. True fulfillment comes from the Lord. I'm thankful today I'm saved from hell. I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm born again. Jesus saved me. But He not only saved me from hell, but He also came to give me life and give me life more abundant. He gave me life, salvation from hell, eternal life, but life more abundant. Remind you tonight that you've been given a purpose in life. And we as a church, we have a purpose. Have a purpose. I wrote this down a couple of years ago. I know y'all don't know this, but I'm a pack rat. So over the years, I have made goals for myself. I know it doesn't astound some of you that I have kept all of those. I have pretty much every goal I've ever set for myself written down over the last 25, not maybe not 25 years, but at least the last 21 years, 22 years. And it's kind of laughable to go back and read them sometimes, of what the goals were for that year or what the goals were for this. And like one of my goals was to weigh between 200 and 210 pounds. That hadn't happened in a long, long time. I can't remember the last time I was 200 pounds. And I'll never be 200 pounds again. Anyway, but just thinking about those purpose. But one time, it's been about 3 or 4 years ago. I wrote this down for a purpose in my life. I just wrote this down. It says, "My purpose in life is to glorify God by personal devotion to Him, loving my wife and providing for my family, by shepherding the flock God has given me, and serving and spreading the gospel in my community and the world." Just simple. Purpose, that is my purpose. Our purpose at the very top is to glorify God. Well, how are we going to glorify God? Well, we glorify God through our actions. Through our actions. And so we are to glorify God by loving our spouses, by taking care of our kids and providing for our family. But in a greater sense, taking care and spreading the gospel to our community and to our coworkers and so forth. That is that greater purpose that God intended for us to have. In Matthew chapter 3, we see that Jesus Christ was baptized as He began His earthly ministry. In chapter 4, the beginning, He was tempted of Satan. tested there in the wilderness. I'm thankful, again, we know that God cannot sin, so therefore Jesus could not sin, and he overcame that temptation, of course. And then we see Jesus Christ here now has come back to the province of Galilee, and he's there walking on the shores of Galilee. I've just been there, and we're looking forward maybe this year, hopefully, to this next year to go to Israel again. And it's just it's a big lake. It's a 60,000-acre lake. Again, Lake Texoma is a 90,000-acre lake between Texas and Oklahoma. So you got to keep that lake in perspective. It's not a sea. It's not a salt lake. It's a freshwater lake. And so Jesus is walking there on the shore, and the Bible says he comes by and he sees Peter and he sees Andrew. Now, Peter and Andrew have already met Jesus. And you can go back and you can see that in John chapter 8, I believe, or where I have it written down somewhere. But they had already met Jesus. They had already, in fact, we read the account where it says that Andrew met Jesus and he went and got Simon, his brother, and brought him to Jesus. Right? Remember the story? We're not going to turn over there. And so here we have the account of them, not their salvation. This has to do with their surrender, of them giving their all, following Jesus. And can I tell you, if you're, I believe tonight, if I was to ask most of you, probably maybe even all of you, you would say, "Hey, I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. I've met Jesus, and I'm a follower of Him." So here we're saying, listen, our purpose in life is to follow Him. He saved us and gave us eternal life, but He also gave us an abundant life. And that abundant life is found in following Him. Following Him gives you a life of purpose. Following Him gives us a life of purpose. He begins in verse 17 by preaching. And can I tell you that I'm thankful tonight you're here and I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but there is something about the preaching of the Word of God. The word preach means to herald or proclaim. It really even means to lift up the voice like a trumpet. So it's okay for the preacher to get a little excited, and Amen. He's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to raise his voice a little bit every once in a while. And I don't do my maybe as much as I used to when I was younger, but preaching, and it's a preaching not of my opinions, but preaching the Word of God, and then in turn the Word of God touches hearts. And so we attend services not just to be fed, but to a certain degree to be motivated and to be convicted by the Word of God, and to allow that in our life to again renew us, to remind us of some things. And so tonight, that's the intention. We are to be followers of Jesus. We're to follow Him, and we need to renew that following. We need to renew that following, especially when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to telling others of Jesus, when it comes to telling others of the light. He preached repentance. By the way, the word repentance just simply means a change of direction. It means they turn from the world and sin and so forth and turn to God. He preached repentance, and he preached, the Bible says here, that he preached the kingdom of heaven, the message of the kingdom of heaven. I want to take just a minute here on this one. The kingdom of heaven, what is he referring to? He's referring to the Davidic covenant. And God made a covenant with David that his throne would be eternal, that David would sit on his throne, that his throne would be eternal. The king of the Jews, David's throne was to be an eternal throne, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, can David live eternally? Of course. Well, we know he is in heaven, but physically speaking, he's not going to live forever. He wasn't speaking of David living forever physically. He was speaking of David's descendants sitting on the throne. Its ultimate fulfillment is Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, the Son of David. And so let's just turn a little bit. I think it'd be encouraging to you. Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 1, again, that he preached the message of the kingdom of heaven, that eternal throne, the kingdom that will come someday. Zechariah 14, verse 1. I just thought this was encouraging. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Verse 2. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. But then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west. There shall be a very great valley. Half the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Just think about that. When Jesus Christ returns, this is not talking about the rapture. This is talking about the second coming, when he comes at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. He lands on the top of Mount Olives. We would call it a hill, the hill of Mount Olives. And the Mount of Olives cleaves in half. It creates a valley from east to west. And so it moves to the north, it moves to the south. And the valley heads right into the city of Jerusalem through the eastern gate, which another verse tells us that Jesus, when he returns, will walk through. As I was at in Israel, the Muslims there at the eastern gate, and of course it wouldn't be that particular eastern gate, but it's right there. The eastern gate would be below that in the sediment somewhere. But in that eastern gate, the Muslims, they cemented the eastern gate up. Then they buried their dead right in front of the eastern gate. So there's a Muslim cemetery right in front of the eastern gate. And because they don't want Jesus to walk through it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you right now, cement's not going to stop him. And some people dead in their graves is not going to stop him. One day he will land on the top of Mount Olives. One day the Mount of Olives will be cleaving two. One day he will walk through that eastern gate as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, will be here for all eternity. And what a day that'll be. Amen. He will return. He will set up his kingdom. Isaiah says this in chapter 9, verse 7. He says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, forever and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." One day he will return. His kingdom will be established, and that kingdom will be established forever and ever. And I don't care what president tries to negotiate peace in Jerusalem with the Jew and with the Muslim, Palestinians, whatever, it's not going to happen. The Bible says there'll be no peace in that region until Christ returns. And he'll set up an everlasting peace. And what a day that will be. So preaching, he preached to them repentance in the kingdom of heaven. And then, again, he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and there he sees Peter and Andrew. And they were casting their net, so they both had a hold of a big net, and they were throwing it in the water, and they were fishing. And he said to them, for they were fishers, and he said unto them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." I just want to make a couple of points. Number one is, he said, "Follow me. Follow me." Can I remind you that Jesus Christ, he is the pattern. He is the pattern. He is the one we are to follow. He's the one we should follow. It's not the pastor who's the pattern. It's not the deacons who are the pattern. Now, Paul did say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And certainly we ought to do our very utmost through the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Lord to live right and to follow Christ. But Jesus Christ is the true pattern. He said, "Follow me." As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, again, he's asking Peter and Andrew to follow him. This is not, again, not talking about their salvation. They'd already met, and I got it written down here, John chapter 1, verse 40, where they'd already met Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 40. But Jesus was calling them to follow him all the time. A complete surrender. "Follow me. I'll give you a greater reason for living other than fishing." Amen. For fish. Give you a reason for living, a reason, a purpose in life, fishing for men. Can I remind you that this pattern was not their own? This pattern was Jesus. It's a pattern that must be learned. Just as fishing is something you learn to do. I'll never forget, it's been 15 years ago, 16 years ago now, 15 years ago. I'd been born and raised around ponds and tanks all my life, and had fished in tanks and ponds and even a couple of rivers, but had never been on a boat in a lake fishing. And my friend Terry, the pastor of Friendship Baptist and Boyd, took me and the two boys, Caleb and Joshua, fishing on Lake Bridgeport. He said, "Hey, you guys get up." We got up early, early in the morning, really early. really early, and got on his boat on Lake Bridgeport and started throwing the net to catch shad, to catch bait. And he threw the net and threw the net and threw the net. Just about became, the sun was just coming up, and finally he caught enough bait, and we went out to the lake. And the day before, he had caught like 200 fish, something crazy like that. And we started fishing. We caught like three. And I'm going, this is what I thought would happen. I mean, this is what happens every time I go fishing. You know, I am not one of those guys. I mean, I grew up with on the farm in Oklahoma. We grew up with a neighbor down the county road. He would always catch everything. And I would sit back there. I'd be fishing in the same spot. He caught everything. And I'd catch nothing. And so we caught maybe by lunchtime, we caught maybe 5 to 10 fish, different species of fish. And finally he comes around, he gets us on a spot, and we catch these hybrids, you know, 8, 9, 10 pound hybrids. And man, that was fun. And we caught several of them. And I was just amazed. I'd never caught anything like that. And I want to do that again. Teach me how to do that. Teach me how to do that. And so Brother Terry began over a process of time to teach me and my boys how to throw a shad net, how to throw the net. And so all my boys know how to throw a net, and then how to fish and where to fish and what to look for and what bait to use. And it is, there's a lot to learn. In fact, Brother Terry's, you know, forgot more than I'll ever know. But I have learned to fish. I think I'm a decent fisherman. My oldest son's a great fisherman. Amen. I'm a decent fisherman. And that also could be questionable as well. But anyway, it is something you learn to do if you want to be a good fisherman. If I'm going to be a fisher of men, I'm going to follow Jesus, because he's the greatest fisher of men that's ever lived. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to be a fisher of men. He came to do the Father's will, to do the Father's business, to preach repentance in the kingdom of heaven. See, these men, Andrew and Peter, had to forsake their own plans and forsake their nets and forsake the boats and forsake their possessions and follow the Lord. They laid down their possessions to follow Jesus. I was looking up that. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." And so many times as Christians, we hear the Word of God preached, but sometimes we have a real problem being a doer. And in James, that word doer is a close associated word with the same word as follow in the Greek. Actually, it's the same word as imitator. If we are to be a doer of the Word, it means we ought to be an imitator of, capital W-O-R-D, the Word of God. The living Word. Everybody see the association there? We're to be an imitator. If we're to be a doer of the Word, then we're to be an imitator of the capital W-O-R-D, the living Word. Amen? Be you doers of the Word. That verse has a little more meaning to me now. It's not just saying being a doer of the written Word, but be a doer of the Word, Jesus Christ. May we be imitators of Christ. May we follow Him. May we renew our purpose. And that purpose, again, is following Jesus. He said, by the way, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When you follow him truly, no one will question the purpose in your life. Others will see it. When you're truly following Jesus, when you're being a doer of the Word, they will know it. Your coworkers will know it. Your neighbors will know it. Your family will know it. There's no question about it. When it's what you are, when that's your purpose, then it's what you're excited about. It's what you're known for. It's what others see you doing. Right? I mean, if you're a Cowboy fan, you wear a Dallas Cowboys shirt and you're a fan of the Cowboys, and I used to be a diehard fan, you know, you show it. People know it. Yeah. Right? I know that's a simplistic illustration, but when you're a follower of Jesus, people ought to know it. Amen. If you're a true follower of Jesus, people will know it. A good test of whether you're a true follower is to ask a friend or two, "Do you think I'm a follower of Jesus?" Because they'll know it. Jesus, again, is the pattern. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So He'll make you. He'll give you the power to do so. You know, I can't say how good a fisherman I really am. I'm talking about fishing for fish. Because no one can give me the power to do so. Now, I can learn it all and do whatever. But there's nobody who can say, you know, here's the power to do it. No. But winning people to the Lord, you do have power.
Yeah.
Power that's not your own. Power that's not from you, you know, urging it up or you picking yourself up by your bootstraps. No, it's power from God. When you're talking to that person, when you're witnessing to that person, the Lord has said, I will be with you. I will help you. I will be there for you. I will help what you say and give you wisdom and be with your mouth and tell you what to say. God will be with you. And sometimes we're so afraid because we're afraid of what we may say or what the others may say to us when we just need to go in the power of God. Be a follower. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Again, it's not about positive thinking or if I follow me. No, he said, I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. God can and will make us fishers of men. We ought to want to live for Christ. I mean, that's just it. I think about, do you or do I want God to work through me? I mean, do you really want that? Do you really feel that God can work through you? Do you really feel like God will work through you as a vessel? And the answer is yes. Our verse we will start next Sunday morning in verse 7 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? It's the gospel.
Amen.
In what? Earthen vessels. Clay pots. Just dirt. Just cheap clay pots. By the way, because what? We are nothing. And you say, well, I don't have the ability to speak to people, Pastor, like you do. I don't have that ability. And God hasn't given me that ability. So therefore, I shouldn't be required or to tell others of Jesus. Well, it's not about you.
Amen.
It's not about your abilities. It's about the Lord's making you a fisher of men.
Right.
And working through you. Because He'll work through anybody.
Right.
Because He uses clay pots. Earthen vessels. If you read the rest of that verse, which we will do next Sunday morning, Paul says, so that I won't get the credit. And God will. God uses all of us. And God will use all of us. No matter of our talents, our abilities, humanly speaking, God can use anybody.
Amen.
And God will use anybody if you'll let Him. We just need to follow Him. We need to be reminded of our purpose. Follow me, and I will give you the power to be fishers of men. I will enable you to tell others of Jesus. I will enable you to be that light in the darkness. I will enable you to share the treasure. He empowers us. He will make you to be fishers of men. A statistic says this. It says 85% people that will hear about Jesus this year will hear from those who have been saved 2 years or less. That's a hard statistic, isn't it? It means those that have been saved more than 2 years speak less and less about Jesus. And so the message tonight is we need to renew. We need to restart. We need to be renewing our purpose in our life. We have a higher purpose than just checking the list. We have a higher purpose than just taking kids to school or grandkids to school. We have a higher purpose than sitting in our office at the workplace and playing on the computer. And we have a higher purpose than providing for our family. We have a higher purpose than loving our spouses. We have a higher purpose. And that is to glorify God through giving the gospel. See, if we truly get this, retirement won't be an issue. I know this is far-fetched. You get ready. If we truly get it, then retirement's not an issue. We never retire from our purpose. There is no retirement in the Lord's army. And by the way, the benefits are great. Woo! You know. No, there's no retirement. And when I'm at work, guess what? My purpose in life is not to make money for the person I'm working for. My true purpose, above all those things, is to tell my coworkers about Jesus. Oh, man. Get it now. I know this is a tough one tonight, but we need to renew. I need to renew. I need a kick in the pants every once in a while when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to telling others of Jesus. This is one of the areas. This, soul winning and prayer, are the two hardest things in the Christian life.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that daily walk, prayer, and reading your Bible is hard to do consistently. And being a consistent soul winner to those around you is the hardest thing in Christian life to do. And so the preacher every once in a while has to get up and just remind the congregation. And by the way, I had to preach to myself first and be reminded when I'm out about my business of the day and I'm checking my list, I didn't remember that person I'm talking to at the grocery store may be lost. That person at the dry cleaners, I think about the dry cleaners over here. Some of y'all use them as well. And Jackie over here and a couple of the others now, most of them are kinfolks that work that front place. And I've been praying for Jackie. She's come to a couple of special events here. And then her sister, Jennifer, has cancer real bad. And so we've been praying for Jennifer. Her last name is Maxwell. And I've been praying for Jennifer. When I go in there, I talk to Jackie. And I talk to her. And I want to be sure the places I go to and the people that I meet, they know that I'm a follower of Jesus. And that I will pray for them. And I will do my very best to be, again, be a follower of Jesus. And I'm certainly not perfect. But just a reminder, that person whom you are talking to, who is delivering the food for you at, you know, whatever it may be at the at Chili's. You know, we used to eat this Chili's over here at Alliance a lot. We don't eat there as much anymore, but most of those waiters and waitresses know us. They know who I am and who Brother Wiggins is, and so we get a chance to witness to them. That means you got to leave a good tip, by the way. I just think about the normal places in life that we need to be aware of to truly follow Jesus and have that higher purpose in life is to share that light. Amen. Amen. May we all be reminded of that tonight. Jesus was a soul winner. In fact, his purpose in coming to this earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his words. His words. He was compassionate. You think about Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a traitor. According to the Jews, a worthless. In fact, they viewed tax collectors for Rome as lower than a dog. They weren't even allowed in the courtroom and all sorts of things. I mean, they were considered and treated lower than a dog. And yet Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. If I'm going to your house. Compassionate. He confronted people. The woman at the well. He confronted people. He pointed her out and talked about her sin. And then, man, gave her the gospel. She got saved and became a great witness. He was committed. Wouldn't you say that? I think he was committed to the end. Don't you? When he said, it is finished. He was committed. He said, I must be about the Father's business. May we be committed to the work. Stories told of D.L. Moody saw a painting one time of a man who was in the ocean. A big storm was there, and the man was drowning, of course, but he had a hold of a cross. D.L. Moody said, man, that's just a great painting. Years later, he saw another painting of a man in the same situation, in the water, in a storm, had his arms wrapped around the cross, but one of his hands, he had reached out to another person who was drowning. He said, that's even a better painting. May we be reminded tonight, yes, we need to hold on to the cross. The cross gives us life, eternal life, gives us an abundant life, but it also gives others life. And we need to be reaching out to others. Let's all stand. We have a higher purpose, an eternal purpose in life. We need to be renewed in that purpose. Again, we all have our lists, whether it's school, work, meals, whatever it may be. But let us follow him. He's the pattern. He said he'll make you fishers of men. He's the power. And the fishers of men, of course, is the purpose. Purpose, the pattern, and the power. As we said this morning, there are so many in darkness today, blinded by Satan and so many false doctrines and false religions going on. Let us be fishers of men. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your love. And may each of us just again be reminded of our purpose, our higher purpose, to tell others of you. May we take a few minutes this week and give somebody a track, or may we take a few minutes this week and tell somebody about you. And God, may we live a life that is pleasing to you and be a light to our families and coworkers and neighbors and friends and family. Lord, may you enable us and empower us to, again, give us the words as we speak to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 155.